This is the Own It Show, where we tell stories of how everyday people made ownership theirs to create extraordinary success.
Welcome back to another week of the Own It Show. I'm Justin.
And I'm Elise. Welcome to the show.
And I know, guys, that we've been chatting a lot with people who have been imparting their wisdom on us in different ways and really learning from their stories. And it's crazy to think how certain product companies or service companies can grow to be something that are bigger than just the product themselves. And we all know that it starts with a story. It starts with something that people can connect to. It starts with something that people can really kind of relate with. And when you relate with a story and you relate with something bigger than what the actual entity is, you become that customer for life, or you become associated with that product. And for all the entrepreneurs and executives listening, that is what the biggest goal should be, is not to make a better product. It's what we say here all the time. Success is different, so be different. And we want to lead with truly being the unique aspirational part of ourselves, but leading with a story that people can truly make their own and truly own. And today we are so glad to have Matt Williams on, founder and creator of the Fro Pro Bar. And if you have not had it yet, you've seen it all over my Instagram for the last little bit here, but it's something you got to dive into. And I could not be more excited to have you on the show today, Matt, because I met you a couple weeks ago and salt of the earth individual. And I'm not surprised by where you've come from and the purpose behind your mission, and really excited to chat with you today.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on the show. And yeah, great to meet you and connect with a lot of other like-minded individuals two weekends ago. And to be able to do this, it's an honor. I'm always grateful to do this and to watch other people and to hear what they're doing is, makes me stronger, makes me better and want to keep going. So thank you for having me on the show.
No, it's fantastic. Matt, kind of give me some background as to what made you want to go into this line of work that you're in. You're super fit. You've got a mindset, a winner's mindset. Let's just call it that, a champion's mindset. You've created a relationship that is empowering of your spouse. You've created a business that you guys do together that you love. Like, you have just put together a life and a lifestyle that is very aspirational for other people. Where did that come from for you?
Well, I appreciate those. Those are very nice things. The bottom line is I lost everything. I had made a lot of really poor decisions and learned what not to do. And I was fortunate enough to be able to walk through that with the help of a lot of people. And something that, that I'm grateful every day that I get. And I know, some people, like, that's pretty corny, but, for me, I made a lot of really poor decisions in life and business, and ended up at 28 years old with, just being at a bottom of all bottoms, where I was just finally was like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. There were thoughts of, like, not wanting to be around permanently. I walked through a lot of, things that were, that I had done to get to this point. So I guess I would never want to say, hey, go screw up your life and then figure out what you like and what you don't like. But I think there are definite things that people, walk through and how you take action and walk through that, obviously with the help with a loving partner, friendship, fellowship, community, that really helps. And to go back to when you first said, like, I didn't create this, Fro Pro Snack Bar to be a business, to sell in stores or anything like that. I created it for myself. So, I mean, sounds very selfish, but I created it for myself because I needed to bike around South Florida. I needed something that could withstand extreme heat. The rain, I mean, you guys are across the state. So it's like, it's sunny one moment and then it's pouring the next. And I was biking all around, town, essentially training and trying to figure my life out, and start over at 28. So it was one of those things I just made for myself, thought it was healthy. Learned a lot along the way with that, from a lot of people that are a lot smarter than me, who guided me and kind of pushed me in the direction of where we are today in terms of, the contents that are in the product, the ingredients, the packaging, the website, you know, it started in 2011 and it was an idea. And by 2013, I had to ask someone. I was like, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm writing things down in a book. I have an account. I have every transaction recorded. And I went to my friends who are lawyers and they're like, yeah, so we need to figure out how this works, because we have 2 years of some stuff here that we need to take care of and get you caught up. And, you know, you're probably not going to like it. It's going to sting a little bit, because like all you have is I didn't know what I was doing. I was a school teacher and business was not my thing at all. I love training. I love working out and I love making snack bars. And that was really simple for me getting sober at 28 to say, okay, these are the things I enjoy doing. I'm okay at them. I've messed everything else up. So I'm just going to run with this. And it was funny, Chelsea was kind of watching at the time. Chelsea's my wife. And she was kind of watching. She was running another company, a very successful jewelry company, and worked her way up to literally running this woman's company. And at one point, you know, after it becoming a business and me writing things down in a book and things that I'm not really, really, I don't want to say excited about, because I love everything about the business, but there's certain things I'm not very fond of, that I
passionate about them.
I don't really enjoy doing. It's not my forte. And that's what Chelsea's good at. So it's a great balance of, you know, two things that I'm good at, two things she's good at, but she's good at a lot more things. So I get to do these things. I get to do some sales. I get to, you know, work with the kitchen and, you know, being the person that was starting the product and making it myself and working with the team that we have now and working with the people that we're starting to bring on. And as we're growing, you know, it's really like family. It's community. It's fellowship. It's people that have watched us kind of from afar, that all they want to do is be a part of it, somehow help. And we've been very fortunate with that. So again, it was started out of a labor of love, if you will, something that I really wanted to eat myself. And along the way, it's just been changed, prodded, flipped, however you want to say it, into where we are. And again, we may not be done with all the design. We may not be done with everything. We still have some flavors that we want to do, but really pleased overall with the bar. We make peanut butter snack bars and we're good at that.
Well, good for you. I've been eating, Justin brought some home with him, or I think you actually sent them to us, and I've been eating them throughout this past week. And I can personally vouch they are amazing. So I know you touched on your relationship with your wife, Chelsea. I actually want to come back to that, because as Justin and I, both life partners and business partners, I'm sure there's a lot we can learn from you. But before we dive into that, I want to ask you about one of the really interesting things that Justin and I notice about everybody that we talk to ownership about, and what living in an ownership mindset means, is oftentimes people are living version one of their life. And then something happens, an event happens. And for you, it sounds like it was the loss of everything, right? And that is where everybody goes through really, really challenging times. And it's sink or swim, right? And for you, you figured out your own personal way to live in alignment with what it is you like to do, and ultimately swim in a really, really strong way. So what I'm curious to understand is what that shift looked like. Like, how did you go from 28 and broke to living, you use the word grateful, you're grateful to have every single day, to living in this really gratitude-filled life that you've built for yourself today? And I intentionally say built for yourself, because it wasn't just handed to you. I'm sure that's right. As well.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I mean, I came from a really nice family. My parents are great. They gave me everything they possibly could. I have two older brothers that are super successful in what they love to do. And it was never about, you know, it was never about fitting in with my family. And I kind of created that myself in terms of, you know, I set myself up. I had all these expectations and things and demands I placed on myself. I'm a perfectionist. So when I lost everything at 28, it was really kind of like I had to relearn how to do things. And I had some really great mentors and people that modeled their life and had been through something I had been through. And they were receptive to me saying, hey, what do I do? I'm lost. I don't know, you know, this from that. You know, I went so far into schooling and masters and coaching and teaching, and now that's gone. And, you know, that was one of the reasons that led me to like not wanting to be here anymore. So I think there was like, you know, one of my mentors calls it a protocol, right? And every day he said, what I want you to do is I want you to wake up, You know, I want you to have some time to connect with something greater than yourself in the morning, time to breathe, time to meditate, time to read, time to write, before you even go out in the world, before you even interact with your wife, before you do anything else, you need to have some you time and connect to the universe, for lack of a better word. And that was one of those things that I didn't really understand why, but I was at a point where I had run out of my own thoughts and nothing I was doing was working. And this guy was pretty successful and living a pretty decent life. Again, like I was 28 and broke and now living a different life today. But, you know, that man had walked through something similar and his life was amazing. And I talked to him because I was like, wow, this guy is doing this, 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 this. How did he do it? And he told me. And that, I was really fortunate. And there's a lot of those guys in my life that said, you know, if you want to experience this, I would do this. This is what I did when I went through that. So I had a lot of role models, a lot of mentors in my life that I actually truly listened to. And I had this protocol. So it's every morning, wake up. I'm an early riser. Some people think it's like psychotic, but I'm a 4:15 kind of guy. I get up, I drink my water, I hit my knees, pray, meditate, whatever, breathe. Then I'll read something kind of to focus me for the day. I'll write a little about where I'm at. And then I'll usually hit some form of workout, whether it's a run, body weight, I'll go to a class. Right there, it's mind, body, and spirit for me in the morning. And then usually I'm off to work. I'm interacting with my clients, looking at emails, looking at what, you know, we had done at the kitchen, what we need to be doing, what needs to be ordered, and kind of setting myself up before the day starts. So I basically, I don't want to say it's like Cliff Notes, but, you know, someone gave me the Cliff Notes and was like, here you go. Use it or don't. If you do, life's going to get better. If you don't, you're going to continue to experience the pain you've been experiencing for the last several years. And that's kind of how I ran with that. And I haven't done anything different in the last coming up on 12 years. You know, I just turned 40. And this year I'll be celebrating, or sorry, next year I'll be celebrating 12 years of sobriety. So I've just been taking suggestions and listening to what people have said to me and like how they've like given me the opportunity to kind of run with what they've suggested. And there's never been, hey, do this, because I do not respond well to authority. Never have. I can listen. But you know, there's usually something in the back of my head that was like, you should shut up because I know better than you. That doesn't exist anymore. If someone provides me a suggestion or positive feedback or a critical assessment, if I'm really messing up, I can listen to it and understand. And usually the critical assessment comes from my significant other. She notices that I may be a little out of sorts, or I'm not engaged in the things that I normally am and responding the way I normally should, or I shouldn't say should, normally do. So again, I think a protocol, I think a routine, a ritual is very important for successful people. I mean, I've read some of the, haven't read all the major books of how people do things, but a lot of them have a routine in the morning and how handle business and how they approach their day before they have to interact with another human being. And for me, it includes all those things that I listed before.
Yeah. And I love how you pull in mind, body, spirit, because it's something both Justin and I practice religiously. We share it in our own community. We talk about it with clients, and it's so important to practice that for a lot of people first thing. And that's where we've seen a lot of our clients shift as well, is in that the practice and bringing together. Everybody will have their own version. For you, it's at 4:15 a.m. For me, it's at 7 a.m. I'm not quite that early, but it's amazing that you brought it up, because it's something that we practice quite often.
I think I want to come back to even like, congratulations on coming up to 12 years sober. It's amazing. And I was listening to, we've got Ryan Mickler coming on the podcast in a couple of weeks. And the big thing that he talks about all the time is red flags and green flags, and red flags being something that comes up saying, hey, you know what, I'm going down a road that I should not be going down. And he talks it in terms of his, of masculinity and manhood, versus the green flags of, these are the things that are going well in my life. And so from what you kind of just put forward, the ritual or the morning routine, the protocol that you kind of went over, are kind of those green flags that when things are going well, that's kind of where we're going, that's what we're leading to. What for you, if you were to reflect back and really be aware of kind of those red flags in your life that kind of put you in that opposite direction, What were those that you can maybe share some light on?
You know, I think, you know, the red flags are few and far between these days, but thinking back to earlier, it, you know, I was starting over. So the basics, you know, I lost my ability to drive. I lost my ability to do certain things that were very, very important for, you know, day-to-day living that like one would be like, wow, you lost the ability to do that. And that was because I couldn't really finish what I started, if that makes sense. And when you can't finish what you start, it really, really looks like a dire situation, right? Like you have a, let's just say you have a red flag, and if I'm by myself, it's like, I'm trying to figure out by myself. Normally I'm surrounded by, like, if you have a red flag in your life, I'm sure she says, hey, red flag here.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? So like, I've had accountability and I surrounded myself with people that could call me out on that. If I wasn't aware, I was having this conversation with a buddy of mine today about being aware of certain things. So for my awareness and the things that, you know, in the beginning, I would call someone and I'd say, hey, this is the idea I have. This is how I feel about this. What do you think? And it usually was like, that's terrible. That's not right. Or, hey, why don't you think about it or look at it this way? So my perception would be off and I had no problem reaching out to talk about it. I stopped trying to figure out things on my own 12 years ago.
Yep.
I guess, because my own thinking got me to where I was, and that was a really, really bad place. So like anytime those red flags would come up, or today it's like aware, if I feel uncomfortable or if I feel like, you know, if I feel like, let's just say you and I had a conversation and it didn't go, maybe I had an expectation of the outcome of that conversation, or I said something that may have been off, it would weigh on me. And rather than try and figure it out, I would call you and be like, hey man, so we had this conversation. I don't know if you read into this, but this is how I feel about it. And I just wanted to kind of tell you that I felt like I wronged, I said something. So I address things right off the rip. I'm not confrontational, but I want to always kind of put it out there or correct something if I feel like I've stepped over the line, if that makes sense. Like, so those red flags for me, whether it's a communication issue, whether it's an interaction, I'm usually pretty aware of it. It's when it becomes serious red flag is when I'm aware of it. And I say, for lack of a better word, fuck that. Sorry. Is that okay?
You're all good.
No, I don't want to address that because you know what? It's all about me and I'm right. That's a serious problem. And that's a serious issue. So anytime like a little, I just, you know, red flag, resentment, anything that I feel is off, I usually try to address it. If it's internal and I'm looking at someone or there's someone that's bothering me with certain things, I'll look at it and just be like, wait a second. It has nothing to do with that person. It has everything to do with me. What's going on with me? It's like the whole analogy. It's like, I'm pointing to be like, hey, Justin, this is really bothering me about you. I got three fingers pointing back at me. It has nothing to do with you. I'm usually the one that's like, and it usually those red flags revolve around fear. I know I'm like dumping a lot here, but like for me, it's always about fear. And it's about fear of losing something I have or not getting something I want. Two things. So
you have a direct connection to my brain and what it is I practice every single day and what it is I teach. But what you're talking about, it takes a lot of practice and it takes a lot of work. Like it's not easy to just one day turn around and say, you know what? I'm going to start to question myself. I'm going to start to point the finger back at me. It takes a lot of practice to get to that point, right?
Yeah, it does. And that's the thing. It's like repetition, right? It's practice. It's every day it's doing the same thing. Now there's days I fall short. There's days where like, it's like, you know, hit my knees and thanking the universe and writing. I'm like, I'm moving because my mind's racing. And I'm not truly taking the time. And those are off days, right? But I'm still practicing it. And so even if it's not like a drastic situation or even when it's a good day, as long as I'm practicing those things, when something really serious comes up, I have that like set of tools and things that I can do to just be like, all right, I know what I need to do. I have to do this protocol. If I go through that and I'm still struggling, still off, I can call this guy. I call that guy. I can talk to my wife. Like, what's going on? What do you see? Like, please help me because I don't like to be in that anymore. I just don't enjoy it. You know, like I used to enjoy chaos, and like stirring the pot, let me insert myself into a situation here and see what this does. Let me piss off this person and let me not mind my own business and give you an unsolicited opinion you didn't ask for. So those are the things that I used to do, because like, if I didn't want to look at myself, I'd be like, well, let me screw this person's day up. I don't have to do that anymore, thankfully.
Good for you. One of the things I really want to circle back on, and I promised I would come back to this, is your relationship with your wife, Chelsea. So yeah. I personally love talking to other people who are in a very similar situation as Justin and myself. I feel like there are unicorns out there, because most couples don't actively decide to do life together and do business together. So I'd love if you could dive into your relationship and talk about how you guys balance business and life.
Practice. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, love languages. I don't know if you guys talk about that ever.
Oh yeah, big time.
I'm a physical touch, and not, you know, like I love intimacy, but it's the, you know, a simple hug or kiss for me, like, sets my day right. That's not her love language. Her love language is acts of service and somehow feed her at any point in time. So if I do that, best husband in the world. But that's not my love language. So I have to work at that. So our communication is this has been the most honest relationship I've ever been in. You know, I've had just, you know, nothing but like open and honesty with her since I got sober. And even from the beginning where I told her, I was like, run the other way. She is younger than me.
She's aged faster than you have.
Right. I just said, you know, I'm about to walk through a lot of things, and like, I don't know if you're ready for that. So we had just started dating when this all happened. And I told her, I was like, you know, get out of here. Cause like, I don't want to ruin your life. You're beautiful. You're young, you're smart, you're talented, you're hardworking. And like, I just fucked my life up. And, you know, she stuck around. And she believed in me and pushed me and challenged me to the point of, you know, it's really awesome. But like working together, you know, there's some things like we just kind of have that look of like, hey, if you're frustrated, you're not frustrated with me. You're frustrated with the situation that we're dealing with. So like, let's remember how we're communicating with each other. If you're going to bark at me, I'm not going to respond very well. You know, celebrating, you know, one of the things we struggle with is celebrating those small wins, right? And certain things that we're excited about. Cause like sometimes I'll sit here, hopefully when you guys visit, you know, I sit on a road here that 11 years ago when I was getting driven home from jail, I was like, I'm probably going to kill myself right on this road. And that's like a crazy reminder to walk in and out of for the last couple of years, because we only got this place in 2018 and like had been building for 7 years prior. So to be here and to kind of, she grew up here. So where our business is kind of like, you have a legitimate business. I mean, anywhere you have a business is a legitimate business, but like for her, it's like, my business is on this road, kind of like in this district of like, these are where businesses are. So it was like kind of it's like a cool thing, but it's easy to forget it. You know, it's easy to be like, hey, what's, you know, we talked a little bit, I think over the last 2 weekends ago, what's next? What are we doing? And not just being like, hey, this is really awesome. This is pretty cool. Let's celebrate this. And remember that like we started with nothing and we're here. Thank God, thank the universe. And like, wow. And then, but like, keep going. Does that make sense?
Completely. Absolutely. It makes total sense. And it's something that Elise and I know we have to even focus a little bit more on, is celebrating those wins. Cause you trudge through difficult times, you trudge through the challenges, and you're always there to support one another. But it's like in a lot of high performing people, and I'm sure a lot of listeners can relate to this, is okay, great, we accomplished this. Kate, what's next? Kate, what's next? What's next? And you're constantly taking on new challenges, new growth, new expansion, new whatever's next on that mountain.
Yeah.
And you never really look back and go, man, look at the mountains that we've climbed. Look at where we are. And appreciate that. So it's something that is taken really close to heart. And I want to transition a little bit here over to the business side. And we often sit here, again, something that I know I've brought up already is that success is different. So we have to be different. And there's two things that I want to touch on. One is what you're doing from the event you did this past weekend, where you're supporting people in the community that are also sober, and what you have done there. And then I want to come back to just what you did from a marketing side, because there's a lot of listeners that when they come into, well, I don't know how to get clients, I don't know how to get customers, I don't know how to make people know, like, and trust me. How do you do that? You've laid an amazing example. So I want to touch on first what you're doing in the community, because this is a way in which people can, what I started with, how you relate to a story and the story that goes behind it and how you serve. So can you touch a little bit on what you do with these events, like you did over this past weekend?
Yeah, no, I mean, the Temperance Training fundraiser started by two buddies of mine, and they opened up the guy that owns the gym. They said, hey, listen, what are the downtimes? How do we help this community? And they said, listen, there's no one here from 1 to 3, really. So, you know, that's your window, you know, go for it, give it all you got. And it started out with like a couple dudes, a couple, you know, people that are just kind of getting their stuff together. And at 1 o'clock, people are coming out, and, you know, some people have never worked out before. Some people just got out of a detox. Some people just got out of a treatment program, and they're just looking for that community. So I think, you know, that was the start of it. And you know, fast forward to, you know, the fourth annual, and they're raising close to 75 grand in, you know, a short amount of time for the ability to keep the doors open, to replace equipment, to, you know, fix things that are broken, because, you know, the gym, I mean, they're using all the equipment for free. They're using everything to assist the clients, the people that are paying members. So like, to have a lot of people to, you know, knock it out, and to have a lot of people to give their time. Eventually they said, you know, hey, we got to, you know, some of these people came through and like turned into coaches and turned into trainers. And they said, you know, we got to, you know, they've been given their time. We got to send them to get their L1 and their L2 and the CrossFit certifications, and send them to be a trainer. And now they're running these classes, and they're running these, you know, these day-to-day sessions in Delray and Boca. Now there's two locations. So, you know, I think with what a lot of people, again, it's so funny you're asking these questions, because I literally was, a friend of mine from New York was visiting his parents down here, and he's 32, and he's like, I hate New York. He's like, it's a strong word. I dislike New York. I feel like I'm just doing the same thing everybody else is doing, because that's what I expect. And if I have to do this, there's this opportunity, and it's a huge risk. And I said, what are you waiting for? But I remember that, right? Because I remember making at some, you know, from being a teacher and getting started again and started working, making really great money that I'd never seen before, three times being a teacher. But at a point I lost like the interest, and I wanted to do something else. And everyone was like, dude, go do it. You have everything in mind. You have your protocol. You help people. And that was the thing. It's like, I went out, and a lot of people, hey, I'm going to charge you this, that, and the other thing. I was just like, hey, let's see if we're a good fit, right? Let's see if you and I can work together. Why don't I do this for free, and you tell me what's good and what's bad? And building a relationship. And I think a lot of people forget to foster relationships with others. And it's just about how much can I get from you? And the only reason I say that is because that's how I wasn't raised, but that's how I ended up when I was doing my thing, making poor decisions. It's like, if I'm going to do this, what am I getting in return? Right. So I think a lot of people, and again, that's just me as a businessman. Other people may think that's a stupid idea and money is time. I get it. But I think eventually when you start to do those things, you build clients, and that person says, hey, you know who really helped me? This guy. And I think he could help you. And then there's another client. And it's, you know, that whole idea of create raving fans.
Yeah.
You know, create that culture and that community of like, I'm going to show up. I'm going to do the best I can for everybody at every time. And again, pass that along, keep passing that to other people. So the community just becomes larger and larger. And it really makes a statement. Like, what happened this weekend was incredible. I was just excited to MC it and have fun, and have one of my good buddies who hurt his back, who normally competes, wanted to be involved. I was like, dude, why don't you co-host this with me? You used to host Dirty Bingo back in the day. So like, why don't we just have fun with this? And when everybody knows each other and we're pulling people from Daytona and all different parts of Florida, people are flying in from out of town to compete, to fundraise. And it's just one of those things where like people, I think community is everything, right? Connection is everything. You know, high performers, people that want to be high performers, that want to change their lifestyle. It's just like someone did for me. We were talking about earlier. It's like, hey, how you live your life is awesome. How did you do that? Hey, here's how I take it and run with it. Don't, whatever. I'm here. Call me. Need anything? Great. If not, you know, I'm not going anywhere. And you know, if you have to go run into the wall a couple more times and like bang your head against it until like you're ready to do some work, great. And a lot of people want that quick fix too, man. And I've seen people just spin out. And I have a deep faith in like, I've had naysayers be like, dude, refrigerated snack bar, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then all of a sudden Perfect Bar came out and I was like, oh, are those people stupid? They just sold for, I think, $500 million. They're dumb, huh? You know, like I always had this belief in that what I was doing, whether it's making delicious peanut butter snack bars, training people to be a better version of themselves, to stay healthy for whatever reason. If I'm here to serve and provide a service base, because I took for so long and I was a taker, and you just give with no motive or expectation, it leads to some pretty awesome things happening. And I think I'm very blessed to have that same mindset with a lot of people that are down here, if that makes sense.
Completely. And we often talk about the way in which the world tells us to garner influence, and that we want influence. That's what we want to create. And we might then create or take on some type of responsibility for that. And then at the very end, we might build a relationship or two. But when we flip that around and we start with building relationships, and from there, we take on responsibility from those people that we create relationships of, influence is all of a sudden given to us. And that's something that we have to earn. And it goes right back to your story and in creating community and creating relationships, deep relationships, meaningful relationships that people will be able to remember. And ultimately, everything that you want does come back to you in the end. But it's changing your mindset of how you approach it. And I'm even going to give you this example for all the listeners out there, because when I met Matt, in Austin, didn't give him my address, didn't do anything. But a week later, I all of a sudden get a package in the mail, and it has this handwritten note in it. I still got a copy of it. It says, Justin, great to connect and compete this weekend. Looking forward to golf and supporting each other in the future. Enjoy the snacks and have a great holiday season. Be well, Matt. And that's literally what I got, was a box of assortment of his bars. And Elise and I have been crushing them all week. And
you've been crushing them.
And
I've been eating whatever's left over.
And literally it's creating relationship. It's doing this, something that's not expected, something that is not required, but going back to what we talk about all the time, is it's different. Being different. Success is different. Success is not handed to you. Success is earned, and you do it by being different. And so I want to commend you, Matt, because it's amazing to see where you've come, the type of man you are, the way you lead from the front, the way you're willing to be different to ultimately create that success for yourself.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So we want to ask you our favorite question. This is something our listeners always love to hear, is in a phrase or a word, what would you say is your definition of ownership?
I'm in the effort business. As long as I show up, put forth maximum effort, and I wish I could say I came up with that, but someone told me that at the very beginning of getting my stuff together. It's like, hey man, you're in the effort business. All you can do is wake up, give 100% effort in everything you do. And if you can get home at night and put your head on the pillow and said, man, I gave it 100%. That's all that matters, right? And, you know, I try to live by that. You know, the buck stops with me. There's no pointing fingers. If something happens at the gym, if something happens in the kitchen, if something happens, you know, It's not anyone else's fault but mine. And, you know, I don't beat myself up. I try not to. But, you know, I take a full responsibility. You know, I create a product. I create an experience with the help of a lot of awesome people in the universe. And, you know, I want to take full responsibility for anything that may need fixing. But at the same time, I don't take credit for the good or the bad. I was told that as well. I don't know. I know it's like throwing a couple answers at you. But, you know, if I, you know, you follow Tony Robbins, right? You ever listen to him when he says, you know, if you're going to take credit for the good, make sure you take credit for the bad, or just don't take credit for anything and thank God that you're here. I love that. And, you know, effort business for me is how I define ownership. It's like, you know, if you're not putting in if you're not putting 100% effort, don't expect anything in return. Don't expect results. You know, just, you know, sit there and just be like, why is this happening? Hopefully, if you have a successful partner or people around you, they'll be like, this is why this is working. It's because, you know, you're not doing the deal.
Matt, where can people find you? Where can people get exposed to you, not only as a person, but also as a business, and basically get Fro-Pro Bars?
Well, yeah, you can check out our website at www.gofropro.com. We do have a sale coming up for Black Friday, Cyber Monday, which is pretty exciting. A lot of deep, deep discounts. Always good for new subscribers. You can find me on Instagram at GoFropro, GoFropro. My personal, if you want to connect with me, it's kind of sounds weird, but it's Mwar Williams. It's Mwar Williams, Williams. That is my name on Instagram. And then Facebook, LinkedIn, any of those. I did have a Twitter account. It's still there, but yeah, you know, and I also throw this out there too. If you want to reach out to me personally, if you know someone that's struggling or needs help, you can call my cell 914-772-6343.
Wow. See, personal cell phone, blow this guy up.
That's the first time that's ever happened.
That is the first time that's ever happened. So it's, be sure to go check out gofropro.com. Cause like I said, there, it's all about connecting to a story behind it. And the story that exists here is one that needs to be told, ones that needs to be shared, and ones that needs to be commended, because we all can learn from being in a high-end community, a community that's based upon supporting each other, one that's built around an ownership mentality, one that is meant to inspire and truly serve those around us. And when we do that, we can eliminate the fear that exists within us, the one that holds us back, the one that doesn't allow us to reach the potential that we've been placed on this earth to ultimately do, because each and every one of us has a gift. We are meant to succeed, and we know that success is different. So we have to be different, and we can own it. We'll see you next week.